just get enough information to sort of figure something out, to put something together. And that's really like kind of the core of entrepreneurship. And if you can do that, it's, you know, you're already off to a huge start.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Carlos, your boy Los, here at the Motor Misfit Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the support. I truly appreciate it. We are now in the holiday season, so I wanted to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving with you and your loved ones and your friends. Hope you guys enjoy it. Today, we have an amazing episode because we are talking with Quinn Osha. Quinn is an entrepreneur and the founder of Topmark. And if you don't know Topmark, Topmark is a website where you go and receive and ask for offers from dealers all across the country on your used vehicle so that you can get the very most dollars for your vehicles. It's a great idea. It's a great concept. And Quinn takes us through his journey, his story, and his entrepreneur mindset. Kind of tells us how to structure our lives into becoming an entrepreneur ourselves. So definitely a great chat with Quinn, and don't want to take too much thunder away from it. So let's get into it.
Yo, 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 what is going on, everyone? This is your boy, Los Carlos, here with the Motor Misfit. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We have another great episode for you guys because today we are talking with entrepreneur and founder of Topmark, Quinn Osha. What is going on, Quinn?
Hey, Carlos, not too much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, man. Thank you for coming on and speaking to me and the audience. So, so guys, Quinn started his career in the tech industry and has always been a car enthusiast. He quickly grew and worked his way up the ladder, but Quinn wanted more. It wasn't until after a few negative car dealership experiences that he had an aha moment and knew there was a better way of doing things. Loving entrepreneurship, he created and founded Topmark, which is a website proven to help you get the very best offer for your used vehicle from dealers all across the country and all right from the comfort of your home. This is an amazing idea, especially during this crazy car market that we're living through right now. Today, Quinn will take us through his amazing journey and will provide us with some great insight. I'll pass it on over to him and he can share a little bit more about himself.
Thanks, Carlos, for the very generous introduction there. Yeah, very happy to be here and always love talking about cars and entrepreneurship. So this is kind of perfect. I up front have always been into it. From an early age, I was around cars, going to auctions, sort of buying and selling all through my childhood. So immediately addicted to that. And on the entrepreneurship side, I started a few, you know, destined to fail businesses at a young age, but I learned a lot in that sort of each stage, and that really sort of grew my interest there. That said, I sort of took a very strategic route to being an entrepreneur. After I got my undergrad and master's in electrical engineering, I went straight into the tech company with sort of the view that it made sense to pad my pockets a little bit. You know, it's nice to have a little money in the bank and also some experience. Yes. So I started a company called Axon. They invented the taser and sell body cameras as well. So they've gotten famous sort of recently with all the social unrest. But yeah. took in a role there as an electrical engineer and built, worked on the in-car video camera systems, launched the first product, worked on the second, and then shifted into like being a program manager. And that involved kind of bringing up supply chains across the United States and in China, which was another very different, but very interesting and fun role. Oh, after, Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. It's not something I would have expected to be doing in school, but definitely opened my eyes to sort of the project management and supply chain, specifically.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah. Thank you. And then finally I sort of shifted into yet another very different vertical, enterprise sales. I spent 18 months down in Sydney, Australia, doing sales for Axon, covering everywhere, sort of Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Japan. And that, you know, as you can imagine, is totally different than working in the engineering org. And I think all of those put together was just, it was really cool to see everything. But at the same time, I always kind of felt like I wasn't really in the zone. I felt like I wasn't passionate. It just, I kind of didn't belong, and that was tough, because I saw my sort of coworkers, you know, excelling and enjoying it. And I think a former coworker of mine used to use this phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. and he used it sort of in a negative way. I think in general, it's typically a negative phrase, but
yeah.
The more I started looking at it, I kind of associated with that. I had been good in these three verticals, but I hadn't quite become a master of any of them and sort of felt out of place. And then eventually I realized, you know, I'm just not doing the right things. And so I committed to quitting my job with no plan, in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. And I was living in Sydney, Australia. So, you know, I was on one of the last flights coming back before they started shutting down airports over there.
Wow. So you just made it back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thankfully they were still like exporting Americans through like private flights, but you know, I didn't want to deal with that. You know, there's just an absolute nightmare and kind of chaos. From that kind of came this really awesome experience for me personally. And I don't want to belittle the pandemic to anybody, because there have been, you know, terrible experiences. But for me, it was almost like this quiet time where I had to be inside with my thoughts. And that allowed me to really sort of nail down my plan for being an entrepreneur and for, you know, what kind of company I wanted to start and where I wanted to go. And so it's been a really, really cool experience. But I think one of the big things for me is kind of telling the people who listen to my story and kind of look at it in terms of how they might go about it. I was very structured about it. I think the popular stories in the media are this, like, oh, these guys sort of tripped over, you know, $1 billion idea.
Yeah, like the overnight success.
Yeah, exactly. Like they didn't really know where they were going. And then they, you know, dropped out of college and immediately made a ton of money. But I think there's a different way and potentially a more consistent and structured way into entrepreneurship. And that's sort of with a strategy to get there. You know, it takes a lot of different skills to be an entrepreneur. And I think being a jack of all trades is incredibly powerful as an entrepreneur, because you have to go from sales, you know, to an engineering meeting, to, you know, dealing with your company accountant and sort of everything in between. And so it's been really rewarding and kind of like this huge kind of aha moment, like you said earlier, for me, like I found my passion. This is perfect. And then you mix in the fact that I'm working with cars and, you know, I'm living the dream.
That's nice, man. And you were able to put two passions together and basically have a career there, make money, be an entrepreneur, be your own boss and have your own business. So that's amazing, man. So how was that living over there in Australia, man? How long did you live there, you said?
I was there for 18 months.
Okay. Nice, man. Wanted to go. So that seems pretty cool over there.
It was awesome. I cannot recommend it enough. Definitely give yourself enough time to get over the jet lag and sort of get adjusted. But spend 2 weeks down there. It'll be the best decision you ever made.
That's awesome, man. So let me quickly rewind back to that. You being in Australia, you quit your job. Did you already have an idea? Because I know that you were structuring your thoughts, writing down what your strategy was going to be. But did you have kind of like a idea of what type of business you were going to start at that point? Or did that come later?
Yes. Yeah, so at that point, I had no idea what kind of business. I mean, I had my passion, right? I knew I was into tech and I was into cars. So I could have told you it was going to be somewhere in there, but I didn't have an idea then. And even the first idea wasn't even what we're doing now. We've shifted, but it was like virtual car shows. So very different, but also car related topic.
Okay. Well, that's a good I guess shift from the virtual car shows to what Topmark is now. So I could definitely see that. Now, take us through your structure, your process, if you can. I know it's probably a lengthy process, but if you can kind of like take us through, like, what was that structure? What did you do, sit down and come up with a strategy?
In terms of trying to pick what kind of idea to work on?
Well, you mentioned, yeah, that, but you also mentioned that entrepreneurship is not just about like, you know, like tripping over yourself and just, hey, I became a millionaire overnight, right? So what would you recommend to those that, okay, look, I want to be my own boss. I want to own my own business. I love cars. What structure, what can they put in place their own selves to actually come up with this and or come up with an idea or start their own business, let's say?
Gotcha. Sure. Yeah. So this depends, you know, unfortunately, very much on kind of what level of privilege you were born into. let me just say that basically if you're in the well-connected, you know, kind of grew up in SF and can raise money really quickly, then this approach doesn't necessarily apply to you. You can go sort of raise VC money early on. But I think for the vast majority of people, you know, going 12 months, 18 months without income to try to build out a business concept isn't really an option. And so what I mean by strategy is really understanding that's what it's going to take, and then coming up with an approach that sort of fits into your current lifestyle, in which you can take that amount of time to really figure out a business model that works. And that, honestly, in a lot of cases, just takes a lot of dedication to, one, being an entrepreneur, and two, the idea that you have. I rarely suggest people to just quit their job and try the entrepreneurship thing, because it takes so much longer than you want for an idea to play out. And you never know which way it's going to go. So having the constant income is just huge. It also, you know, if you're doing it in an industry that you are currently working in, sometimes you can leverage the contacts at your current business to be clients, you know, for your future startup. So there's a lot of benefits to that. And I think just one of the big things for me early on was that I didn't know how to code. I was always interested, but I did electrical engineering. I never felt comfortable with it. And so that was a huge barrier for me to start a company. And I just bit the bullet last year, and I spent, you know, 2 months doing nothing but learning to code. And wow. So I think if you have something like that, dedicate a little time, you know, just bite the bullet and it'll pay off in spades. And so I think, you know, rounding that out, you know, if you create a 6 month, 12 month, 18 month plan where you kind of acquire the skills you need, and then start building a business plan, you can get to a point while working that can be pretty substantial, and then sort of make the leap from there.
That's amazing advice right there. And you put it very, very good for everybody to just follow. So basically, make a plan. Stuff doesn't happen overnight, guys. It does not. You make a plan, and whatever your end goal is, the end result that you want, work towards that. Put a plan in place, follow the plan, and you will get to that end goal. Just like Quinn just said, I mean, you have to structure it, whatever works for you. Whatever might work for somebody else is not going to work for you. So get that plan in place and go for what you want out of it. So that was amazing, Quinn. Thanks for that. That definitely broke it down to everyone.
Of course.
Now, tell me a little bit about Topmark. So I did read that you had a few bad experiences, and you were obviously trying to, you know, create this business, mixing your passion for cars, so the automotive industry, you had tech knowledge. So how did Topmark, where it is right now, come about?
Sure. So a little bit of a windy story. I didn't exactly follow my advice that I just gave you, you know, when I was starting this, but, you know, it's always a 2020 hindsight, but basically it was, I mentioned we started in virtual car shows. Turns out, you know, there wasn't quite enough money in that to sustain a real business. And, you know, I had a bunch of dealer experiences that I didn't love. And so I always thought that there was something to be done there. We moved into like a peer-to-peer selling space. So I sort of helped facilitate people sell their kind of high-end cars. And
co-assignment type of thing?
Sorry?
Like a co-assignment type of thing?
So almost like a high-end Craigslist, okay. Where you could basically all the cars were really nicely listed versus not having pictures and no descriptions. Like they were all quality vehicles and then they had inspections and stuff. So it made it kind of easier to buy online.
Yeah.
But while I was doing that, I found that every car, every client I got, the first thing I did was go check, you know, 10 different websites for how much I could get them for their car using, you know, the kind of instant quote things that are happening right now. And if I couldn't have more money than them, you know, I just said, go sell it there. I wasn't going to try to waste anybody's time. And the more I did that, the more people were saying, you know, like, I want somebody just to do that for me. And so that's kind of the genesis of this platform. And then obviously it sort of expanded very quickly and very aggressively from that. But it's this mixture of this transition that the auto industry is going through, this kind of digital transformation that started maybe in 2012 or so, where they're really starting to sell and buy cars fully online. And in the pandemic certainly accelerated this hugely.
Yeah.
But we're right in the middle of this crazy place where we're about to go from, you know, only 5% of cars across the United States being sold online to somewhere between, you know, 25 and 30%. You know, that's millions of cars that are now being sold online versus, you know, in person in just a couple of years. And so, basically, we leverage that new concept where you can basically get a cash hard offer for your vehicle online in a few minutes. And so we, instead of having to go to a few different websites or a lot of different websites, you know, we do that all for you automatically. So you just come to us and then you can compare all the different quotes. And it's really powerful. And the really, you know, the cool differentiating thing for us is that we don't just do the online ones. You can also get quotes from local dealers. So, you know, instead of having to drive down to your local BMW dealer or, you know, several of them to try to get quotes, they can just throw in an offer online. And at the end of the day, you can pick whichever one you like most.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Especially now, man. It's like you said, like cars are being sold online so much now. And on top of that, with this crazy market right now that's going on, used cars are going for like, I don't know, what do they say, 20, 30% over of what it used to be a year or two ago. So yep. It is definitely a good time to be able to get the very most for your car. And you go into a site like Topmark and you're able to see what are these great prices that dealers are offering you. So that's a great idea, man. Congrats on that.
Thanks. Yeah, I think one of the big things there as well, just with the price increases, is that it's created a really big kind of arbitration situation. And what I mean by that is specific dealers, you know, may really want certain types of vehicles, like pickup trucks. You know, there may be some dealers that really want those, but other dealers like Carvana who want kind of sedans with less than 40,000 miles and that are less than 5 years old. And so we've seen in the first few or the last few months, spreads of $2,500 to $4,000 between, you know, the low paying dealer and the high paying dealer for regular cars, you know? So wow. It's actually these huge price spreads, which is kind of impressive, right? You'd think that this commoditization of the market where kind of, you know, a 2014, you know, Mazda 6 is just a 2014 Mazda 6. Anybody's going to give you the same amount, but you know, our data shows something very different.
Yeah. Wow, man. No. And then that's great. So you also have the data to back it up, to be able to show people why they're getting the offers that they're getting, who is buying these cars. Like you just said, Carvana is looking, has their own parameters. Some other dealers have some other parameters, and you're able to compile that all in one place. So that's a really amazing website, man. And it's crazy because it sounds so simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it wasn't around before until you created it.
Yeah. It is kind of funny because if you think about it, if you look in other industries, you know, some of these you may know, some of them you may not, but like Expedia, Kayak, U-Ship, you know, those are similar marketplaces or similar models in different industries. And they've been wildly successful, but I think just one comment on that. I agree. You know, that's what, when I explain it, I say it's really not this like mind-blowing concept, but the only reason it's really possible is because of what I was talking about, this digital transformation, because 10 years ago, you couldn't get a hard cash offer quote without taking your car to a dealer. And that's just no longer true.
Yeah, no, that's true, man. So the times are really more, and I guess we have the pandemic to blame for it, to kind of speeding that up.
For sure.
Like you mentioned, digital transformation. I mean, look at the amount of people working from home now. So it's just like everything is just going online now, and it's the perfect time for something like this to be around so that regular people can utilize it, and it helps them out in getting the most for their vehicles. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Are you still fully remote? Are you working from home?
Yeah. I mean, I was remote before the pandemic. So side note, this is a passion project of mine, right? So I actually work in the tech industry and I do enterprise sales.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I was always working from home even before the pandemic, but just like you said, digital transformation, that is what we are selling at my company right now, because it just accelerated that tenfold with the pandemic for sure.
Yep, that's a good industry to be in. I'm sure that's going pretty well.
Yeah, it's going good, man. It's going good. But I just can't believe it's just such a crazy market. And like you just said, man, it's just, before it's like nobody, you would call a dealer, or you even fill something online and they'll be like, well, you have to bring your vehicle here to the dealership for us to actually give you an offer, you know? And then a few months go by and it's like, okay, I'm getting deals online now.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, some people were more afraid than others and the experience wasn't great depending on which dealer you went to. And it can be intimidating because then you take your car and then, you know, they try to sell you another one on the spot. And, you know, so there were a lot of drawbacks of that model. And so I think a lot of people just started, they just got accustomed to giving up the value of their car to avoid the stress and tribulations of dealing with it. And so we're moving into a modern age of car buying and selling where, you know, the customer's like experience is something that matters. And you can see from Carvana's just explosive growth that people are willing to sacrifice a little bit of their, you know, purchase price to get a really interesting, unique and positive experience with their car buying. And so everybody else in the industry industry kind of saw that, said, no, you know, it's not going to work in the early 2010s. And now are saying, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Like, how do we do this? How do we restructure? Let's move things forward and sort of copy this new model.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's, and now that, I guess that's the, what do they say? Copying is the best form of modesty. No, I might have said it wrong, but you know what I'm saying.
best form of flattery.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Flattery. That was the word I was looking for. So now you're like, you're first in the industry for this. And now you're going to, I'm sure you're going to have other sites that are going to be like, hey, we could do this like Topmark, but it's like you were first to market with this and it's an amazing idea, man. So yeah, it's, you know, I was fiddling around on the website and yeah, man, it's the user experience on it is great as well. So guys, if you have not checked out Topmark, I implore you to go on Topmark. Is there a reason why you named it that, Quinn?
Yeah. So the mark with a Q is indicative of kind of a brand, like a car brand. It's, you know, old British term. And then top mark is just kind of like the best brand. So it's not necessarily directly related to the function, but I thought it was catchy and fit with the industry.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Yeah, that was the only thing I was wondering. I'm like, huh, mark with a Q. I'm like, okay. But no, that totally makes sense. So guys, you guys got to go on topmark.com. Check it out. Quinn, what has you most fired up about next year? What are you most excited about? And I say this more personally and also business-wise as well.
Sure. So I think I'll start with the business. I'm just really excited to see, you know, Topmark growing. We're, you know, hitting a pretty decent stride. We're growing sort of almost 65% month over month, which is exciting because, you know, we're helping more and more people get cars or sell their cars. And that's just a fun thing to be a part of, you know, being in an industry that you like, doing work that you like, and then being able to help people is just kind of the perfect mix of what you want for a job. And so I'm excited to continue that going into next year and really expand our product line, support more vehicles, add more features. You know, there's a lot we're going to focus on next year, and just, you know, make it kind of the de facto place for selling your car, right? I think, you know, I want ideally, you know, eventually everybody in America, right, when they think, hey, oh man, I got to sell my car, what do? You know, the first step is, all right, let's go to Topmark. Even if they don't end up going and selling through that, I think that that's a good first step for anybody. Yeah. From a personal standpoint, you know, this is my first entrepreneurship journey. And so I don't want to come off like I'm preaching, you know, all I can do is sort of give my experiences and sort of talk about how I've tried to learn from them. And I've, you know, learned. It's been crazy. I told you the virtual car show was something I was really excited in and ultimately, you know, quote unquote failed. Even though I learned a ton from it, you know, we ended up having some pretty cool car shows. You know, we held one for Autos for Autism, which was hosted by Stahl's Auto Museum in Michigan, and it raised money for autism research. And then we did another one for Flying Miata, which is a aftermarket Miata parts supplier. And we had 220 custom Miatas come out and showcase their cars, and then 10,000 boats. So,
wow, that's, you know, awesome.
Yeah, it was this kind of, you know, really cool failure, right? I spent a ton of time, a ton of effort and kind of sleepless nights, but, you know, I wouldn't go without it. And so knowing that I was able to kind of get that this year, looking forward to next year is just, you know, to keep going. I think each time you do something like that, you learn that not only sort of the stereotypical, like, oh, failure to succeed kind of thing, but just that you know, how quickly you can learn things when you really are really focused on doing something. You know, that failed in maybe 3-4 months before I knew it wasn't going to work. And, you know, I had wasted 3-4 months doing basically nothing, you know, several times previously in my life. So, it's a really cool feeling, and I'm really excited to sort of keep going and see where we can get.
Oh, perfect, man. Oh, that's awesome, man. And I wish you the very best and hope that, that all of that comes twofold, man, next year, for real. And
appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we are getting towards the final lap, what's what I like to call, or the end, kind of end of the episode, you know. So I have 3 lightning round questions for you. They're going to be fast, but your answer might not be fast, which, you know, that's fine as well. So the 3 questions that I have for you are all car related. You are a car enthusiast and you are in the automotive field. So these should be fairly easy, I guess. So the very first question that I have for you is, what was that one car that sparked your automotive enthusiasm? Sorry.
No worries. This question is tough for me because it almost makes me feel like I'm not a true auto enthusiast, you know, because I feel like at most have had this kind of story or dream car that they had above their bed growing up. I really never had that. I never had a specific one. I just knew I liked cars. You know, I worked on them consistently with my dad and my brother. And again, we kind of went to auctions and sort of bought and sold some classic cars, but nice. Didn't have that like dream one. But I'd say when I turned 16, actually slightly before, I got my first car, a 2006 Mazda 3 hatchback, you know, nothing crazy. But I think that just kind of cemented it for me because it was the first one that was mine. It was manual. I got to mod it out a little bit and just kind of really have fun with it. And that was just like, okay, this is no longer something I'm doing with the family. This is, you know, something I do individually and it's going to continue on to the future.
That's awesome, man. I remember those Mazda 3 hatchbacks. I like those.
they were great cars. So underutilized, I think. But yeah, no, I love mine.
No, definitely. They were nice looking cars. A friend of mine had one. So I grew up in Boston, and back in Boston, everybody was, or at least that in my area, was all into the Hondas. And then my friend shows up with this Mazda 3 hatchback and we're like, what is this? But it was a really, really nice car. And, you know, he did tasteful mods to it. Because I guess at that time there were very untasteful mods, but, no, it was a really nice car, man. So that's good. And you know what? Don't think of yourself. Don't like that. You know, every car enthusiast has, you know, their own journey into what made them love cars, man. And that was yours. So that's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. So the next question is, you have a 3-car garage. You can only have 3 cars in those spaces. Only 3 cars, and you have unlimited funds. What will be in those garage spaces?
Well, I really like those terms. If I had unlimited funds, I wish people told me that more often. You know, I said I wasn't like raised with a favorite car, but I did kind of get pretty hooked on 911s. Okay. So definitely one would be the 992, sort of the newest version GT3. They're just such beautiful cars and just so well balanced, great drivers. Yeah. My second one, I'd say I'm kind of getting older, you know, I'm looking at almost being 30 in a couple of months. And so I need something responsible. I'd say the Lamborghini Urus, the SUV or the crossover Lamborghini.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like that one. And then an Aventador, I think, probably a Roadster, you know, a nice little convertible, just to indicate a little bit of youth, you know, do some stupid stuff in and have a little fun.
Oh, that's nice, man. I like that. And I like the the difference in choices. So you got your daily driver that's you know, that's more responsible per se. You got your fun car, and then you have your track car. That's really good, man. And you kind of messed me up for the next question. Wow. Okay. That's gonna, well, you know what? We're still going to do it. We're still going to do what I was going to do from the beginning. But before we get into that, that was a great garage that you have there. A lot of those are some of my favorites as well. So Lamborghini has always been a favorite brand of mine. And then I'm definitely getting into the Porsches now, although I'm a lot older than you. But I don't know about being responsible with the cars, but those are definitely some brands that I do like. So my next question, and you'll see why I said that you kind of messed me up, is because you kind of already have two of these two categories. So first I'll ask you, have you ever played Track Daily Crush?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a list of three cars. You're going to tell me which one you would use as a track car, which one you would use as a daily, and which one you would send to the junkyard to get crushed.
These are your
these are your only three cars, and obviously you only get to stay with two of them. So I was going to use your three-car garage. But you know what? I'm still going to use it. So out of your three-car garage that you just told us, so the Porsche 911 GT3, the Lamborghini Urus, and the Aventador, which one would you track? Which one would you daily? Which one would you crush?
Oh, man, that's it's still tough. I mean, the obvious answer on the crush, you know, you got to crush the Urus, right? You can't, you know, you can only go so far with trying to be practical. If you got to choose one that, to go, that's the one. And wow. Then in terms of tracking and daily, you know, the cool thing about the 911, like the GT3s, even though they're, you know, quasi track cars, they're just still really good dailies. So I definitely daily the GT3 and track the Aventador. Even though, you know, Aventador, I'm not really sure how great it's going to do on the track, but it is what it is.
Hey, it depends what Aventador you have, right? I mean, it could be like the track version one. I don't know. We'll see. a special edition that they made just for you. Remember, you had unlimited funds, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, perfect. And if I can, you know, keep modding with whoever is giving me those funds, that would be perfect. We could have some fun out there. I'll bring you out.
Yeah, man, definitely. Be sure you do that. You know, I got to say that I was a little surprised when you said you were going to crush the Urus. I really thought that you were still going to use the Urus as the daily and go pick one of the other two cars. But you surprised me. You kept, you know, you went unpractical.
I know, and I honestly for a second thought about it, and I was like, And so the funny thing is, I'll just throw a quick story in here. Like, I straight out of school, you know, got this engineering job, and all my friends, family thought I was crazy, but I immediately went out and bought a 911, just because that's, you know, what I really, that's what I wanted money for. It's just fast cars. it was used and I loved it. It drove so great. It was a base 911 convertible. So nothing super flashy on it. But, the big thing was, like, you can't even fit, a golf bag, like under a club bag. And so it's just so unpractical for, like, having your only car, but I'm still sticking to the GT3, even amidst that. Somebody else can bring me my golf clubs.
There you go. You hire, hey, you know what? Nobody ever said you can't do that. You can't, you know, you could always hire a driver to drive behind you in a bigger truck, right? And then just carry around everything for you.
There you go.
While you're driving your daily. That's awesome, man. Hey, thanks for playing that. I always enjoy people's answers on those. And you did not fall behind. Those answers were pretty good. So thank you for answering those questions. And unfortunately, now we're getting down to the last part of our interview, because it's been a good conversation, Quinn. I've learned a lot from you and enjoyed talking to you, having your insight, and basically just going through your whole journey. But with that said, I wanted you to share your last pieces of advice to anyone. You already gave a lot of great advice, but if somebody wanted to follow in your footsteps and they came over to you, asked you today, Quinn, what should I do? What would you tell them?
Good question. So as I often do, I've got a few things here, so I'll probably drone on a bit, but one of the big things I specifically learned and sort of didn't quite follow and try to more now is for entrepreneurship specifically, you have to learn just enough to get something done. It's not like school, it's not like anything else where you have to get this like whole concept of whether it's, coding, supply chain, technology, whatever. You just have to move the needle forward, one inch. And so rather than trying to prepare for years by going back to school for your MBA or going to get a master's degree or whatever, just get enough information to sort of figure something out, to put something together. And that's really like kind of the core of entrepreneurship. And if you can do that, it's, you're already off to a huge start. And I think, talking about like this digital transformation, like the internet has done the same thing in terms of like how we educate people across the United States. It's so easy and so accessible to learn almost any topic, immediately and really, really cheaply. You don't have to pay $5,000 for a boot camp. You can go to YouTube and just take some courses. So I think it's more accessible entrepreneurship. It's more accessible to anyone than it's ever been. And, if you want to do it, just take a little step. Don't try to get, vision yourself all the way down at the end. Just try to get, the first step done and then go from there.
That's awesome, man. And that's great advice. And like you mentioned, do not stay stagnant. Move that needle. That's what you got to do, because at least if you're moving that needle, that means that you have movement. So any movement is good movement, even if you're going back, because sometimes you have to go a little bit back to go forward. So just keep moving, move that needle. And I love what you said about the YouTube, because a lot of people, they fall back on, it kind of becomes a crutch, because it's like, oh, I don't know how to do something. Well, there's ways of you learning how to do that. And now I had a guest on that basically said, it's 2021. You have no excuse for saying that you don't know how to do something, because you can find everything online. And that is so true. And some people just don't get that, right? They use it as an excuse to not go on and go get what they want, right? So that is amazing advice. You guys heard it here. Quinn giving some great advice, some great insight. Quinn, where can people go and check you out, check out Top Mark?
Yeah, well, so you said it a few times, but I'll say it again, topmark.com, TOPMARQ.com. And then me personally, I'm on LinkedIn, so Quinn Osha, and then Twitter at Q_Osha. And reach out. I'm pretty quick to respond. So,
all right, perfect. So you guys heard it here. Definitely reach out to Quinn. Check out the website, Top Mark. Especially like we've been said, if you're trying to sell your used car, definitely do that. And check out Top Mark to do that through there first, or at least check it out. Well, Quinn, it's been an awesome talk with you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for speaking with us. We'll definitely check everything out. And well, I would love to have you back on the show in a few months and check in with you, see how you're doing. All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that would be awesome. I'm sure it'll be an interesting catch up.
Definitely, man. Well, you have a great night. All right.
All right. Thanks. You too.
Thanks.